We're talking about faith that breaks loose. Let's just quickly remind ourselves a couple of prophetic words over this year. Brother Copeland told us it's a great year of faith, a great year. There's many other things he said as well by the Spirit of the Lord. But in terms of our study now, he said it's a great year of faith, a great year. So how many of you believe, and I would recommend that you do, it says believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. How many of you believe that it's going to be a great year of faith this year? Amen. I believe it. I receive it. And there was a number of other things that, of course, also Jerry Savelle prophesied over this year and tremendous things. Again, if you haven't looked them up, if you haven't sat down and prayed these things through and contending, if you're not already contending for these words of God for this year, I would encourage you to go to the respective websites and download those things. Hallelujah. So we're looking at a number of issues concerning faith. Faith that breaks loose. Faith that breaks loose in Jesus' name. Who can use faith is what we're going to look at this week. A few weeks ago, we looked at who can have faith. Who has faith? Who has the faith of God? Who, according to Scripture, who has the faith of God? Well, 1 John 5, 1 through 5, let's quickly refresh ourselves. It starts out with the answer, whoever believes. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him, who's begotten of him. Everybody who loves the Father loves the children. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, or this is loving God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is why the whosoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God. This is why the whosoever in that statement makes so much sense, and it helps us, or makes faith at least. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So who is it that has faith? The one that is born again, the overcomer who's born again. Who is it that overcomes? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. Whoever believes that Jesus is Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, or born of God, you are, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. If you are born of God, you are an overcomer. If you're an overcomer, you're the whosoever that has faith. Hallelujah. You're the whosoever that has faith. Bless the Lord. John 3:16 told us. What did he tell us? The same John that wrote this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that what? Whosoever or whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's the whoever again. It's the whoever that believes. It's not the whoever would like it or the whoever that decided they wanted it. It's the whoever or whosoever that believes. Hallelujah. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God, you're the overcomer, and you have the faith of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The born-again believer has faith. The person gets born again by faith. Well, you can't get born again without faith. So faith came when you heard the word. You got born again on it. Faith has come. You've got faith. That's how it worked. That was the process. Romans 10 tells us and explains a little bit more about the process of faith. But the righteousness of, this is in verse 6, the righteousness of faith speaks. Did you know your faith speaks? Do you know your faith has a voice? It comes from the place of right standing with God. Righteousness. Right standing with God. Righteousness has a voice. It's the right standing of faith. Hallelujah. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Don't say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? Here we are, about to find out. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, we would class ourselves or consider ourselves a word of faith church. What does that mean? Is it a denomination? No, it's not. It's a particular emphasis that we have put on what the Scripture teaches about faith. Because everything in Scripture is affected by this. You go into the very first chapter in Genesis, and the very first thing out of God's mouth is, let there be, or literally be. God is a word of faith God. He opens his mouth and he speaks, believing that he receives when he when he speaks at that moment. He believes in the hope image and the faith substance. This is from Genesis to Revelation, folks. So really, I would go as far as to say every church should be a Word of Faith church. And I'm not talking about denominations. I'm not talking about, you know, there are strengths in all sorts of different churches and denominations and everything else. But I believe Christianity is a Word of Faith manifestation. Christianity is a Word of Faith manifestation. It's not a cute saying. Paul coined the phrase, and he included us as a we. Well, if we as the church are included as in the we, then we as an entire body of Christ on the planet should be able to say this is the Word of Faith which we preach. Hallelujah. All right, so we're not trying to set ourselves apart and say we're a Word of Faith church, no one else is. My declaration is we all should be. We all should understand faith. Do you know that wherever I go, and I've traveled a little bit in Australia and I've spoken to different people and talked to different Christians and other people from other churches, but do you know that there's not a lot of people that do understand faith? There's not a lot of people necessarily out there that understand this faith. I had the privilege in the last 4 weeks in a row of speaking to different young people. I mean, a lot of young people, some of them from Australia, some of them from overseas, and I start teaching them some of the basic elements and principles of what you are quite skilled at in terms of faith, and they look at me with their eyes like this and their mouths open like this. It's like, and they're like, we've never heard anything about this. We've never heard anything like this. And I tell you, they were about you know, 8 hours into this, they are on fire. They are stirred up. They are ready to go out into all the world and preach the gospel and lay hands on the sick. I'm like, well, hang on a minute. We've got another 3 days to go. You know, just hang on a second. Let's get through this. And I'm teaching them about the character and the nature of God and some of the principles and elements of faith. Let me tell you something. Some of these kids have been Christians all their lives, have never heard what you have heard. I mean, so, you know, take this as granted, you, but don't take it lightly. This is weighty stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he says, this is the word. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess, now here's the process. You confess with your what? Mouth. Here's the process now. This is how it works. It works this time every time. It's the law of faith. It has to be your heart engaging your mouth. It has to be from the heart to the mouth. It has to be believed and spoken. This is the word of faith. This is the process. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So now this is the first this is the first time someone ever used this kind of faith. This is the first time an individual ever uses this kind of faith. When they hear the gospel, faith comes. Now, the first time they ever use that faith is when they do something from their heart to their mouth. This is the saving process, but it's not just the saving process. This is the genesis of your faith. This is the beginning of where it begins to be functional in your life. And from there on, it carries on exactly the same way. Faith comes by hearing, and it's believed, and it's released out of your mouth. And substance is manifest. Hallelujah. Let's hear it again. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Doesn't say it might work. It didn't say that. How many of you have prayed a prayer asking Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? How many of you? I mean, there should be a few hands going up here. If you haven't prayed that prayer, then that's something you want to do today. If you've never actually prayed a prayer saying, Lord Jesus, I submit myself to your Lordship. I believe you rose from the dead. If you've not prayed that prayer, what does that mean? At the moment, you're on your way to hell. Sorry to be so blunt about it, but we don't have time to muck around with that. You need to be saved if that's your scenario. Well, you say, well, I'm a good person. God wouldn't send me. Why would God send me to hell? I'm a nice person. It's got nothing to do with what you did. Religions are based on what you do to try and get yourself elevated to God. Christianity has not got anything to do with what you think you've done, good or bad. Christianity is salvation by faith, by grace through faith. By the grace is the gift, faith is the response. You didn't do anything to get it. So what's going to send someone to hell? Not God. The fact that you're already locked up in sin and the rejection of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Everybody in this planet that doesn't know Jesus is on the way to hell. We're born that way. And if you want to get out of that path, all you have to do is receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, it has to be believed in your heart. It has to be confessed out of your mouth. Hallelujah. It has to be released as an act of faith. Praise God. Well, that's how it works. That's how you got saved. That's what you got saved on. If you are sitting there today and think, you know what, I don't know that I've ever done that. I don't know that I've ever prayed that prayer. Then before the end of this service, you will have an opportunity to do that. Bless God. We won't let that slip past. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. The heart believes unto righteousness. That's the thing. That's the act that develops from your heart into right standing with God. Then in that place of right standing, your mouth confesses and activates all that's right. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Once those words come from your heart to your mouth and are released, you become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's it. You will never get any more saved than that. You will never become more saved than that moment. Really? You actually got seated in heaven with God in that moment. Nothing more that you could do. There's nothing. And I posted this just yesterday. It went through my heart again yesterday. So I posted on the Pastor Chris Twin Facebook page. Some of you are connected to that. I could hear Pastor Jill saying that she often says, never let what someone has done to you be bigger than what Jesus has done for you. Never let what someone has done to you be bigger than what Jesus has done for you. Why? Because what Jesus has done for you has covered everything, has dealt with everything, has wiped away all sin, has covered every situation. Hallelujah. It goes on in verse 11, say, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who's believed our report? So then how? Faith comes by how? Hearing, and hearing by the? Faith doesn't just come by hearing anything. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. So, I want to say to you again, I said it to you a few weeks ago. Jesus said, take heed to what you hear. Don't just turn on Christian television and sit there and just let it roll all day. I tell you, the one you can turn on is BVOV. You can leave that on all day. I'm telling you, that's some good stuff in there. There was nothing I've heard on that I would agree. I mean, of course, Believer's Voice of Victory, KCM put it out, but they're very fussy. What I'm saying is they're very fussy about what it. And you say, how do I get that? Buy yourself an Apple television. Believe God for the finances to buy yourself an Apple TV, and you can have that thing on all day. It's just a little box like this. You just plug it into your television, hook it up to your internet. Make sure you've got enough internet. you can check your package out. Praise God, we got NBN this week. Woo! And you can leave that on, and it's going to be feeding you. But I'm telling you, we've got the Christian satellite. We got that a few years ago, and after a while, I turned it off. There's a couple of things that were good to listen to. There's a couple of things I'm like, whoa, no, get that off. It was unbelief coming out of my television screen. On Christian television. It's the same with radio and everything else. You've got to take heed to what you hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't just come by listening to anything. Certainly doesn't come by listening to someone filled with unbelief trying to tell you something that why God's going to make you sick and he's going to beat you up and he's going to make your business go bust and everything else just because he loves you so much that he wants to do that to you. That's not going to develop your faith right there. That's going to develop your confusion right there. That's all it's going to do. It's going to develop your unbelief. And we don't want to listen to that stuff. I've had to turn the radio off on the way to church some mornings. We listen to a Christian radio. I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but we listen to a Christian radio station that's, you know, pretty good actually, for the most part. There's not one in Brisbane that I would listen to, but there's one a little further out. And so I'm listening to it. But then someone piped up and said something on my way to church to preach. Someone piped up something. It was just full unbelief. I was like, didn't need to hear that on my way to church. You've got to take heed to what you hear. Got to take heed to what you hear. Do you know what? There is so many great preachers and churches and ministries preaching so much great stuff. You don't need to mess with the rubbish. Hallelujah. Lord, bless them that are preaching and stir their hearts and help them hear. Lord, use us as a ministry. If we can be used to minister those words and help them and give them resources, Lord, Father, please use us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for grace you've been saved through faith. It's not not of yourself, it's the gift of God. You didn't do anything to earn it. Hallelujah. Romans 12, 3, I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There's no one should be sitting in this congregation today thinking, well, you know, I know I've got more faith than the person sitting next to me. Lord, you know, just give them more faith because they don't have as much faith as I've got. That's not right. And neither should you be sitting there thinking the person next to me's got more faith than me. God, I need, please give me as much faith. No, to each man has been dealt the measure of faith. Do you know what will happen if you do that? Is that you'll go to some situation, you'll see someone that needs prayer. And do you know what you'll do? Is you'll go and ask someone else who you think has got more faith for you than you to go to pray for that person. You don't need to do that. Can I let you on another secret? You don't need to call the pastor either because the pastor doesn't have more faith than you. Now, there's nothing wrong with calling the pastor or calling upon the elders of the church to pray for you. If you need that prayer support, we are there for you, but not because you don't think you've got as much faith. If you're a born-again believer, then you've got as much faith as me or Kenneth Copeland, or Billy Graham, or anybody else has got out there, because to each man has been dealt the measure of faith. Now, you might want to call on us to instruct you in how to develop that. Sure, great. You call me for that, you sit back and rest for relax for the next hour, because I'll teach you. We'll sit down and we'll go through Scripture. But I tell you, don't be trying to look around because you're down on your own. Oh, well, I don't have much faith, so I need to get someone else to pray. Someone else, you know, someone else has got a better standing with God than me, so God will hear their prayers more than me. You are in the presence of God. If you're in Christ, then you are before the face of the Father. You don't have to go through anybody else. Hallelujah. Now, we'll hold your hand with you and believe with you until you believe that, but you've got to get to that place where you understand the truth of that. You don't need to go through a third party. The only person that was ever the third party that needed to become the third party that became the intermediary was Jesus. And Jesus, in the way in which he did it, brought you into himself. So he both became the intermediary and you became part of him, the body of Christ. And he came on the inside of you and he directed you, connected you exactly and perfectly to the Father. To the point where he said, from now on, don't ask me anything. But ask the Father in my name. My goodness. You don't have to be talking to some saint somewhere or Mary or any other person. I'm not purposefully trying to tread on people's theologies or family traditions and so forth and so on. But what I'm trying to say is that you don't need to go to another person, alive or dead, to try to get to the Father. Jesus, who died and rose again, has made a way for you to go directly to him in his name. Hallelujah.
See, this is the measure of faith that you've been given when you got born again. Well, does everybody on the earth have faith? Well, we've just discovered, no, it's those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So 2 Thessalonians 3 tells us not all have faith. Unreasonable and wicked men don't have faith. People out there that don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they don't have the faith of God. All right. Now, let's move on quickly. So we found out who has faith. Who has faith? The believers. All right, those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So who can use faith? Well, it should be the same answer, shouldn't it? Well, that made just quick work of my sermon. No, but it should be the same answer. But let's examine that now. Who can use faith? Go to Mark 11 with me. Let's look at Mark chapter 11. Hallelujah. The most important teaching that Jesus ever gave on faith. Most significant, most important teaching Jesus gave concerning faith. Mark 11, from verse 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God, or the God kind of faith. Different translations put it and emphasize it. For assuredly I say to you, here it is, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Can you see how many times it says he says there? How many times does it say God said? You're all looking. Anybody counting? No. Why not? Because God's already done the saying. That's how you got the faith. That's how you got saved. You got the faith of God. You've got the Word of God. He's given you His Word. God's done all the saying. He's released all the saying. Now, now don't get me wrong. He'll still speak to you. He'll still converse with you. He'll still commune with you. But He's not going to say anything different to what He's already said. Hallelujah. This is consistent. This is not fallible. This is His Word. Now men's translations can have a few variations, but the Word of God is true and it's sure and it's firm. Hallelujah. Now, so what's the emphasis there? Where do we see the emphasis? For I say to you, now Jesus is doing some saying, and we've already established that if Jesus says something, he gets what he says, and he's saying it to you. For I say to you, whoever says. So we've discovered that the whosoever that believes that Jesus is the Son of God is born of God. Now, they had to do some saying for them to get in that position. They had to do some saying. They believed in their heart and they confessed with their mouth. And from that point on, the whosoever that qualified and got the salvation is also the whosoever that now qualifies to do something, but who can use their faith. It's not just the believer, it's the believer that says. Can you see that? Because if you sit there staring at a mountain, or staring at a fig tree or a sycamine tree or whatever, whichever scenario you want to look at that Jesus described, if you sit there looking at and wishing that that mountain would be removed, it's not going to happen. It doesn't matter how saved or how long you've been saved, I should say. It doesn't even matter how much you've developed your faith. Now, if you do develop your faith, if you are in the Word and hearing on faith and hearing on faith and hearing on faith, I tell you something's going to happen. Your heart's going to get faith in such abundance, you're not going to be able to hold it back, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you actually do the meditating in the Word and do that, it's going to be so big on the inside of that you're going to speak. But you can't be looking at it and wishful thinking and hopeful. You're going to have to get that developed inside of you and out of your mouth. So the whosoever that's saved now needs to be the whosoever that speaks. That's how it worked for you to get saved, and it's how it's going to work for you in every single faith adventure and endeavor that you will ever step up to, that God will ever ask you to move towards. Every single one of them is going to take this exact same process. If it's not in your heart and it's not in your mouth, it will not work. It won't. We've got to understand that. We just need to settle that right now. You cannot try to function faith any other way. This is the law of faith. Praise God. So whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, in the heart, but believes those things which he says shall be done. Now we've moved now beyond what God said to what you say. Now now it's not going to work if you're not saying what God said. Let's just make that clear. I mean, if God didn't say it, don't you say it, right? I mean, God gives you the words, so that's where faith came. But now the emphasis is on you saying. You've got to say it. But here, get this. Now, did you hear it? You've got to believe what you say. Well, first of all, you had to believe what God said. Step one. Second, you've got to believe what you say. You can't be throwing out a prayer and afterwards and think, phew, not sure I believe that. Well, why did you say it then? If you're not sure you believe it yet, get back in the Word, get in there, meditate it, roll it around, get two or four or five or 10 or 20 hours worth of teaching on the subject, hear it, switch it on, put it on while you're asleep, drown out the snoring, whatever you need to do, and listen to the Word until it's in abundance in your heart, until you do believe it, and then let it come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Because you've got to believe what you say. You've got to believe what you say. See, there's so many people, I've heard this. I've tried that faith stuff, it didn't work. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You said something. That's all you did. You said something, but you didn't believe what you said. This works when we believe what we say. When you believe what you say, how do you know if you believe what you say? When you said it, it's substance. It's not hope anymore. It came from a place of hope. It's the substance of things hoped for, but it's now substance. You released it out of your mouth. It is so, whether your eyes can see it or not. It's substance in your life. Everything's changed because you just released that substance in the atmosphere. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. When? When you pray and you have them. See, you receive. If you've received it, it's done. If you received it, it's substance. If you received it, you don't need to pray about it in the same way anymore. Well, all you need to do from now on is get into thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, it's so good. I thank you so much for that thing I prayed about yesterday by faith. I thank you at that moment that I prayed it, I received it. It's so good to have it. It's so good to have that dealt with. It's so good to have that bill paid. It's so good to have that healing. It's so good to have that relationship restored. It's so good. Can you hear what I'm saying? From now on, you're praising God because it was done when you believed what you said from what He said when you prayed it. Hallelujah. This is the faith process. This is the faith process. Praise God. Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Why is that? Is God just sitting up there? He's just, I need you to please me. No, He's pleased when it works for you. Do you get it? He's overwhelmingly excited and happy and pleased because you just did something and the system that He gave you to work, you worked it and it worked for you. And that bill just got paid, and that person got healed, and that dog's eye got healed. Didn't I tell you that about my dog's eye? I was thrilled with my dog's eye getting healed. I'm serious. I wish we had taken a photograph, don't we? I mean, you don't like to take a photograph of your dog when it's sick because you feel bad. But we looked at Sam a few weeks ago, and his eye was swollen and just completely white. You couldn't see it, just white. Went on the internet, I don't ever do that for me because it's scary doing that. But I did it for the dog. Went on the internet to find out what was going on with the white eye thing. And every site I went to said basically they've got an emergency surgery, take the eye out, amputate it. It's going to explode it. Otherwise, it's going to put pressure on the brain and your dog will die. So I'm like, what? I'm not putting up with that. Plus the bill that would cost. So I laid hand on my dog's eye in the name of Jesus. And for that evening, we came to prayer that night and got everyone to pray. And I went home. Every time I looked at Sam that night and before I went to bed, I call you healed. You're healed. In the name, I thank the Lord you're healed. I thank you that eye is restored in Jesus' name. So we'd already done the prayer of faith. I'd laid my hands on my dog. He said, can you do that for a dog? You can do that for anything that's yours. You can do that for anything that's yours. Hallelujah. Next morning we got up, that eye is crystal clear, totally healed. Hallelujah. Why not? It's what this says. I believe what I said, you see. I believe my household is blessed. I believe it is. I'm a blessed man. I am. You are too. Hallelujah. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He wants to be pleased by seeing it work for you. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Do you believe that God is? What do you believe God is? You're like, yes. Well, what do you believe God is? Believe that He is. He is what? I mean, He's everything good. He's everything good. He's love. He's spirit. He's light. He's everything. What do you believe? Well, He is. Well, here's an interesting thing about that as well. The He is the now statement of God. Well, now, Hebrews 11 says, now faith is. And we'll get into that more in a week or so's time. But now faith is. Now is not in the future. That's hope. Now faith is the substance. Well, if God is, then he is a part of that now statement. God is a faith God. Did you know that? God's a faith God. Now, He's not limited to time, but He will affect now. God will affect your now. He will affect your time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Believe that He is and that He is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's not lazy Christianity. Now, He's done all the work for you. He's done all the hard work for you. But your part now is the diligence in developing that faith. You should be striving to enter the rest of faith. If you're going to put effort anywhere, you put effort into entering a place of rest. You know, don't get into strife. Don't go into your faith prayers striving. That won't work. Don't go into your prayers in fear. That won't. I think it's Gloria Copeland says, scared prayer don't work. It doesn't. It doesn't because if you're going into your prayers and you're terrified, then love isn't perfected and faith works by love. We'll get into that. We're going to break down some of the dynamics of how this works, you see. We're going to look at the different elements. We looked at who qualifies for it, who gets it, who can use it today. But then we're going to break it down and start, how does this thing work? How does faith work? We're going to like a mechanic, take that engine apart and see this thing. How does this work? Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. So now you can use your faith by the Word of God. If you don't use the Word, it'll not be useful for you. You've got to believe the things that you say, but what you say has got to become from what God said. Rick Renner taught us when the Bible says that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Rick Renner taught us, and I've studied this now for myself after I heard him say this, is that the Greek word for two-edged is literally two-mouthed. Two-mouthed sword. What does that mean? It means God says it and you say it. The Word of God was never... God never sent us His Word for it to be God's Word. The Word of God was spoken by God to be spoken by you. And let me just say that again because some of you didn't quite get that yet. The Word of God has to become your Word. You're still not getting it. God said so that you can say. This is, and don't get weird on me on this, but you can pick up your Bible and say, this is my word. Now don't get weird. You didn't originate this, okay? You're not Almighty God. You didn't come up with this word. But having said this, you say it, this becomes your word. Why? Because you've got to believe the things that you say. And you and I don't believe what we came up with. Because we know us, right? We're not that impressed with our original ideas. We know how much of a mess our ideas have got us into in the past. But what we do believe is what God said. And I'll tell you what, I will put my words around His words any day of the week. I'll wrap my heart around His word any day of the week because I believe His words. And when I say what He says, I believe what I say. I believe what I say to the point where I say that enough, I believe everything that I start to say because it should be so shaped by what God says. That's when your mind starts getting renewed. It comes up out of your heart, gets into your mouth, and you start believing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's consistent with the Word of God. But in Hebrews, what happened? Therefore, Hebrews 4 verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering in this His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word of God did not profit them. How? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. You can have 27 Bibles on your shelf and it not help you if you're not mixing faith with your word. Well, how do you mix faith with your word? You've got to believe it in your heart and you've got to speak it out of your mouth. And you've got to believe what you say. Hallelujah. You have to believe you have the faith of God. Well, I'm not sure. I know the Bible says that, but I'm not sure. I'm not really sure if what? God's lying to you? Sorry, I mean, forgive me if I'm being blunt here, but we've got to, you know, you've got to ask yourself what you really mean by that statement. I'm just not sure if what? God, is God lying to you? No, the Bible explicitly says He is not a man that He should lie. So if He's not a man that He should lie and He never lies and He's told you this, then it's about time to start believing it. Put it in your heart and you speak it and you believe what He said through you. Hallelujah. We've got some substance going now. You've got to believe you have the faith of God. That word will change you. When you use your faith and are believing it's true. However, it's not profitable for you if you don't believe that you can use it. Now also, here's an interesting thing for the Christian that's sitting here listening to this morning, sitting listening to this on the internet or gets your hand on a CD or an MP3 of this or some other format. We also need to understand and listen to this. You are commanded to use your faith. This is not a suggestion. This is a command from our Commander-in-Chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's commanded you to use your faith. Listen to this, 1 John 3:23. And this is His commandment. We say, well, we don't have the commandments anymore. Really? Really? And Jesus said that the entire Old and New Testament, all the law and the prophets hang on a particular commandment, the commandment of love. Well, here's something that we're going to find out here. Look at this. This is His commandment. Did you know Jesus gave us commandment? He surely did. He surely did. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. We're going to find more out about this in the next few weeks, but faith works by love. Your faith won't work without love. No love, no faith. No love, no faith. So that's part of the dynamic we're going to examine later on. But you can see, very, very interesting that this is saying the same thing, that His commandment is simply this. Man, if you just get this, if you believe on the name of Jesus and love one another, man, that is fulfilling the commandment of Jesus. God doesn't give you a command without the power to obey it. Now, this is big. When Jesus gives you a commandment, within the command is His own belief in what He said. And Jesus gets what He says. When Jesus commanded a fig tree to do something, what happened? It did what He said. When Jesus commands or told us that you can do this and command a mountain. We don't actually have any evidence that Jesus did this. But if Jesus had taken off 5 minutes later and looked at a mountain and commanded it to be picked up and cast in the sea, you know what would have happened next. People say, he's talking metaphorically. He's talking about metaphorical mountains. You know, the mountains in our lives. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that you can speak to something that is putting pressure on you and you can speak to that mountain in the name. You can speak to that mountain of debt. You can speak to that mountain of sickness. I don't doubt that. But if you go to another passage where Jesus was teaching on this about speaking to the sycamore tree, he says, if you speak in the same way that you saw me speak to the fig tree, in the same way it happened with the fig tree. In other words, he's talking about speaking to physical things as well. Physical things. Hallelujah. I don't doubt that Jesus had spoken to a mountain. Now, he wasn't looking at trying to geographically rearrange Israel in that moment. So he didn't speak to any mountains and shift it around. I tell you what, one day there's going to be a time when he puts his feet on the Mount of Olives. There's going to be some mountain moving stuff going on that day. That thing's going to split in two. Hallelujah. Ooh, I just got myself happy right there. Praise God. Woo. You're commanded to use faith. Believe on the name of Jesus is to believe the authority behind the name of Jesus and use it. To love one another is going to be the manifestation of that through our lives. Compassion is going to move you. Acts chapter 3 verse 12 says this. Now I want you to hear this. How many of you believe the Apostle Peter had faith? Would you believe that? Would you believe that one? The Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter walked around with Jesus. Surely that means he's got to have faith. No, that, because he walked around with Jesus, has got nothing to do with the fact that the Apostle Peter had faith. But he saw all the miracles that Jesus did, so that's why Peter has faith. No, absolutely nothing to do with everything that Peter saw. Children of Israel saw pillars of fire and cloud and seas open up. The Word of God did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Well, not all of them anyway, some of them did, and moments it did, but you hear what the Scripture was saying a moment ago. Well, he was on Jesus' personal staff. Jesus gave him a miracle of catch a fish and he brought him onto his staff and of course he's got faith. It's got nothing to do with that. Why does Peter have faith? Exactly the same reason you've got faith. Nothing more, nothing less. Let's see what it says. Acts chapter 3 verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel. He's just had a miracle happen. So it's manifest through his life. When people saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? We didn't do this from our own resources. We didn't do this because we're apostles. We didn't do, and people say that, you can't expect that to happen for you today because they were the apostles. Yes, they were the apostles. They were the first ones to demonstrate this. And as apostles, they've written for us and instructed us that we're supposed to believe what Jesus said, that the works that he did we should do also, and greater works than these. And he's demonstrating this by saying, hey, why are you looking at us? Why are you looking at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? Now he gives us the answer, verse 16. And his name, through faith, in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter said, don't look at me. It's not my godliness. It's not because I walked around with Jesus. It's not through my own strength. It's got to do with one thing and one thing alone, my faith in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. If you have faith in the name of Jesus, you have the same kind of faith that Peter used to raise people up from their sick bed, to raise people up from whatever situation they need your prayer of faith in. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. This is really cool. To those who have obtained like precious faith. This is the same Peter. explaining the same concept. He's writing to another group of people, and he's saying, I'm writing to a group of people who've got exactly the same kind of precious faith that I've got. Like precious faith, the same kind, like for like. Who have obtained like precious faith with us by what? Their own efforts? No, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. It came when you got saved, hasn't left you, just needs developing. To those who have obtained the same kind. So let's ask ourselves a quick question. Why does a person not use the faith that they've got? What stops a person using the faith of God? Hebrews chapter 4 gave us a reason. We read it earlier. If not being mixed with faith, or the word not being mixed with faith, it's not going to be functional in your life. Another reason is religion. If a person actually believes it's by their own righteousness, then even if they've believed in Jesus as Lord and Savior, if they get stuck on their own righteous acts again, religion will take over, and religion, what you'll do is religion gets into a tradition. Religion begins the second time you did something God told you to do once. You're now not leaning on Him and His instruction, you're leaning on your past experience. That can very quickly turn into a religious tradition. You're now leaning on your own righteousness, what you think you did, and no longer are you going to be using your faith. Another one's disobedience. I mean, that should be fairly obvious. God says it, you say no, you're not going to use your faith. That should be really obvious. But what's not obvious so much is how many times we do that and actually convince ourselves that that's not what we just did. To do that, you have to deceive yourselves. It's what the book of James says. He says, be ye hearers of the word, not... be a doers of the word, not hearers only, what? Deceiving yourselves. Why? Because if you hear the word and you don't do it, you've got to now come up with, you've got to deceive yourself with a good enough reason as to why you don't have to be a doer of the word. We've done that for far too long, too many times. So we don't want to be in religion, we don't want to be in disobedience. Couple more quick ones. Fear, reason, and doubt. Fear, reason, and doubt. You need to purge these out of your life. Well, how do you do that? Well, the love of God, and we'll find that out a little bit later. But listen, Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Now, we already know that Jesus has said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the sycamore tree, we know if you've got faith as a mustard seed, you can do amazing things. So he's not rebuking anybody for having a little bit of faith. So what's he saying? He's tagging it. Little faith, as far as Jesus is concerned, he's describing a force in reverse. And every time he ever used the statement little faith, he tagged it. He explained what it was. Why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Why did you reason, O you of little faith? Why did you... Oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt? He always tagged what he meant by that. Reason, doubt, and fear are little forms of faith that are working against you, not for you. Fear is a form of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Fear is the substance of things dreaded. It works on the same rules. And it'll put you in reverse. So we need to, the term little faith there is, it literally means incredulous, lacking confidence. So this is not talking about a little type of God's faith, because God's faith is not incredulous, lacking confidence. Do you hear that now? People have preached that wrongly because they didn't do a little bit of study that was necessary. So Matthew 6:30, worry is little faith. Matthew 14:31, doubt is little faith. Matthew 16:8, reason is little faith. All of these things working against you. Mark 2:8, that immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? That'll just put you in reverse. Undo it. The disciples were guilty of it. You and I have been guilty of it. We've heard God say something and then we start reasoning. We start using the noggin and it gets us into trouble. I said this so many times last week. The Lord corrected me on saying something. He probably might have even picked it up today. When I was teaching last week, a number of different times, I kept saying to them, "This, read it, this makes sense." And then God said, no, stop saying that. It doesn't make sense. It makes faith. It doesn't always, when God speaks to you, it doesn't always make sense. It doesn't, what is sense? Sense is the five sensory perceptions, the sight, smell, taste, touch, something else. What is that? Hearing. That's right, sound. And they all perceive, the sensory perception perceive the circumstances. The Word of God doesn't touch that. It makes faith. It makes faith. Hallelujah. So Jesus described reason to be like leaven. It's like hot air. Puffs you up, puffs up your knowledge, puffs up your reason. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for faith, the substance of things hoped for. So quickly, last scripture, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Bless the Lord. And verse 20, I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified Version. Because there is a dynamic that goes beyond sense, that goes into faith when you hear God and believe Him. And when you put it in your heart and you start speaking it out of your mouth, you're going to hear yourself say stuff that doesn't make any sense. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done, when God starts to say, I want you to start praying into this, I want you to start praying, my head's been going crazy. My head's thinking, that doesn't make any sense. But your spirit's just going off on the inside of you. You can feel that virtue coming out of your spirit and out of your mouth. Why? Why? Listen to this. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him, who by, in consequence of, the action of His power, that is at work within us, is able to carry out all out His purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. Now, there you might have been up to this point having your hopes, thoughts, desires, even your prayers based on what makes sense. But if you want to go and connect into this super abundant bit, your prayers can't be stuck there anymore. You need to get over into faith. And that's where God will make that happen. Hallelujah. That's where it's going to happen. So what is faith exactly? That's what we're going to look at next week. To be continued. .. Praise the Lord. Did that help you this morning? Has that stirred you up? I pray it has. I believe it has. Faith came. Now, be doers of it. Start putting it into action. Start believing what you speak according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just stand up together. Praise God. And let's do exactly that right now. Let's tell you what we're going to do is we're going to believe what God says concerning us for this week. What does God say? If He's for us, who can be against us? What does God say? He knows the plans He has for us. Good plans, perfect plans, right? For future and a hope. That's talking about our future. Well, is this week our future? All right, does He have good plans for us this week? All right, so let's believe it and let's put it in our heart. Let's meditate on that for a minute. That's what we're doing right now, talking about it. We believe that God said it. We believe it's good plans. We believe it's for our future. That's this week. Hallelujah. I believe it. Do you believe that? Yes. All right. Now, we're going to believe what we say. We're going to put that in our mouths. Amen. We're going to release substance over this week in Jesus' name. You ready for this now? All right. Let's say this together. Father, I thank you for your word. I believe your word. Your word tells me that if you're for me, who can be against me? Your word tells me that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And your word tells me that you think thoughts, good plans for my future. I believe this week is my future. It's my immediate future. And you have immediate good plans for this week. So I declare every good thought, every good plan that God has in His heart for my week ahead, I declare it done, it imposed, it moving everything out of the way that is in opposition to it. I believe the plans of God outwork for me. I believe, I receive now in this time, for this moment, and for this week, in Jesus' name. Amen.